Should we start with our own cheesy theme song?
It's the Brian O'Cody podcast of the Brian O'Cody show.
There, nobody can sue us for that.
You know I'm going to have to pull that audio. Wow, I'm loud.
Yeah, I'm turning us down.
I was roaring. Well, now I can hear myself.
I didn't know if it was just... Well, adjust your headphone volume.
Well, no, but I can hear you.
You technical...
So if I can't hear me, but I can
infidel,
hear you, then it's...
All right, well, I'm watching the levels on the potentiometer.
Is that what it's called?
Used to be, I think with the dials, it was a pot. I think it's still a pot.
We always, so I call it the pot. Everybody calls it the pot.
Right. And back in the day when I started radio, back in '07, it was just big dials. It was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. Listen, I'm very old.
Well, back to the theme song. I like the theme song. You were doing great.
I can't remember the theme song.
Something like this. It's the podcast of the Brian O'Cody Show featuring or co-starring or however he wants to be billed this week. It's Cody Goff. He's wearing a shark necklace. Very disturbing. Enjoy
on the podcast, baby.
All right, that's why we need you to enter the theme song contest.
No one has entered a theme song.
I know, I'm very disappointed.
So literally, if you do it, you'll probably win and be our official podcast theme song.
Well, let's not say that, because it could come in and it could be a pile of garbage.
Well, it's that or what we just did.
Or we just don't have one. Okay, you know. Or we buy, I commission a musician to actually do something for us.
Commission a musician, you say?
That's right. I love to be a poet. I've been exposed to culture.
I didn't even know it.
So welcome to the podcast. Once again, we are preempted by sports. You know that. But we are here in your head anyway because, one, we just can't get enough of talking to you. And we know there's at least three or four people who are clamoring for more content from us every week. And by three or four, I multiply that by a quarter million, and I think that's about right.
Is that about right?
Yeah, so about a million people are clamoring. Now I'm nervous this week because you're standing up.
I can sit down.
No, you can stand if you're more comfortable. I just can't anymore. I can't stand. We've got, here's what's on the big podcast today. We're going to talk about some travel trip. Cody Fields went with Cody to Belize, and I went to England. And so we will talk about that. We'll talk about some travel experiences.
To go back to our last couple podcasts where I was so in shock that you knew anything about Belize.
Yeah.
It actually was less to do with me being surprised you know stuff. But before we booked this trip, I hadn't thought of Belize, I don't think, since 8th grade geography class.
Okay.
You know, like, it's like who talks about it and thinks about it. Then I remembered, you know, you've got a couple years on me and you've got a lot of friends and you've met a lot of people and you've traveled a lot, so you've had more conversations. And over time, you hear more and more things about more and more places.
Yeah, you just pick things up.
Of course, logically, you would have heard about it. But to me, still, it seemed like a very just who talks about Belize? And no one's ever like, oh, yeah, I was just in
Belize. One of my brothers had vacationed in Belize. Somebody else I know is from Belize.
Okay.
So,
yeah. No,
I had a little Belize, but not enough to know what side of the of the peninsula.
And it was a lovely place. But again, it's just, you know, people go vacation in Cabo or Cancun or
Puerto Vallarta, and then they get whipped up by another hurricane.
Right. Or all the islands, Turks and Caicos, I've heard a lot about. And
the DR.
The DR, right? Where you've
Can't
been.
Go back there. Sure. I went there, almost died.
Right. I've been in Puerto Rico. We were going to do a vacation in the Virgin Islands, either the British or the American.
Yeah,
there's two right there.
All right.
So many islands, so many countries. Yeah. Belize just like at the very, and especially because my wife teaches Spanish. And she likes to do their little pilgrimages to Spanish-speaking countries to practice her Spanish. Well, Belize's official language is English.
Yes.
And everyone there speaks English because it's the language. So so even with conversations with her, it never came up. So,
oh, no.
Yeah,
and what's the currency down there?
It is the Belizean dollar, which is 49 cents to the U.S. dollar.
Holy cow.
Something, yeah. So it's basically 2-1.
Two Belize dollars to one American dollar? That's good.
Yeah.
I didn't have that. I had 1.5 American dollars to 1 pound.
The pound has that always been the best currency?
The pound is it's the best, but it's confusing because part of it, like some of the bills are see through. You get a little, like they have a little piece of cellophane in there and the 5 pound note and the 20 pound note. And I'm like, I don't trust anybody that has see through stuff in it.
Wow.
And then the coins, you know, they don't have singles. They don't have like we have a single dollar. A single pound is a coin.
Right.
Then there's a 2 pound coin. And so the change always was throwing me. But we'll get to that. All right. Look at this guy. What? Why is Jeff Carlin wearing three, like, German fedoras?
Jeff Carlin is wearing 3 to 4
fedoras
outside the studio. I can confirm this.
Yeah, we're going to try to get him in there. All right, good. We got it. Here he comes. because we got to get him in here. All right, we saw you walking in. What's going on with all the oh, they're Blackhawks Oktoberfest
hats?
Yeah,
we just got back from the stadium.
Yes, I know. I knew you were out there. But I didn't know you were. I didn't know they were having Oktoberfest tonight.
Yeah, so they all season long in the atrium space out there. They're doing special events, and this one tonight was the Oktoberfest.
Yeah, and you didn't wear lederhosen to the broadcast.
Yeah, it was at the dry cleaners, and then I lost it. So yeah, I had to. So I'll get it next year.
Row wear any?
No,
did you guys have the big Ricola horns?
No, we put him in lederhosen for the Halloween show last year.
I remember that, yes,
so
I remember
he's still scarred from that.
All right, very nice. Well, those are quite fetching.
But then,
I wondered why you came in looking like there's a book, a kid's book, where a guy is selling a million hats.
Right.
And then he sits down under the tree to take a nap and somebody takes all his hats.
I love that book.
That is
what's
a great
it called?
Book.
I don't know.
I don't remember either.
Me neither. Man with too many hats?
Guy with a lot of hats.
Yeah.
Don't nap with your hat, I think
right,
it might be called.
Something like that.
I like that you're kind of you're working the brim like you're Sinatra over
that's
there.
That's right.
What's going
also
on?
Also like a fuzzy thing, so I don't know.
Caps for Sale.
That's it, Caps for Sale.
There you go.
Caps for Sale.
Caps for Sale is a great book.
You came from Blackhawktoberfest.
Blackhawktoberfest. There you go.
The Pilsner drops here on WGN.
Cold yeah, bratwurst
like that,
on ice.
That's good.
did they have a stein holding contest, anything like that?
Not so much, but they gave away plastic steins
to the
first 500 people who came in and bought a beer.
Nice.
I actually got a couple of the plastic cups, but
nice.
It was pretty cool. They had the whole atrium decked out. They had the long, you know, the beer hall tables. They had a stage, an Oompa band. They had some Bavarian style dancers and lederhosen.
Nice.
It was a cool little. They sell them pretzels and stuff.
Listen, the Blackhawks don't do anything halfway.
No, sir.
So good for them. Well, that's nice.
Very cool.
Good to see you. How you been?
Good, gentlemen. How was my favorite Globetrotters?
Well, we were just about to start weaving tales of our broadcast adventures.
I thought what was the thing we talked about? You're doing paddling?
We went punting.
Punting, that's
punting.
What it was.
We did go on a punting tour of Cambridge. Mm-hmm. The college backs, to be exact, in Cambridge.
Oh.
Because, yes, well, listen, I'm very continental now. To the point where I was explaining some things to my mom, and she goes, "Did you know all that before you left?" I said, "Well, I knew some of it. I learned a lot of it there. That's, you know, I paid attention since I wasn't driving and having people go, 'Hey, look out the window.' No, I was able to sit on the bus and listen and then read things. It was phenomenal. But Cambridge, much like Oxford, is made up of a number of colleges, 35 to be exact. At Cambridge, 35 colleges. And college is basically like a dorm. It's a housing unit of the colleges. So while in Oxford, we went through the biggest one, St. James Cross, went through there, College of St. James. We went through their whole thing, which is where the Great Hall of Harry Potter was based on. Their dining hall is basically the Great Hall.
Mm.
Well, we toured through there, but in Cambridge, you don't do that. In Cambridge, you go on a punting tour along the backs of the colleges. So it's almost like being in Venice or going to the Venetian in Vegas. Same kind of deal. These flat-bottom boats, and a guy with a stick is standing on the end, and he's pushing you because the water, I think at the deepest, the water is 4 or 5 feet. But then it gets very shallow in other areas. So that was the punting tour as we went down. And, you know, this kid, copped to the fact that he had just started a week before giving the tours.
Man, never show your hand.
Yeah, but he, you know, he knew the big bill, or he knew the big buildings, explaining them to the point where he said it with enough conviction that I don't know if he was lying or not.
Sure.
But it sounded good, and I got pictures, so I know I was there, and I know, you know, here's this and this, and it's like, oh, okay. And I can always look it up.
That's one of the Chicago tour guides who I once heard telling people, or, you know, tourists, that the Big Apple store over here is modeled after an Apple MacBook Pro and has a big Apple logo on the roof. And we can see from here, it sure does not.
It does not. I heard that on one of the river cruises, too.
Yeah.
They told the same story. Yeah. I didn't, you know, at some point you don't want to bust a guy.
No, hey.
Come on.
Part of the magic.
Right. Let the yokels suck it up, you know, the slack-jawed yokels who come in and shell out their money. Let them eat that. They eat that stuff.
Like when you take the tours in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
The million-dollar home tours.
Right.
Sure. And that one up top, it's the mansion from Iron Man. Oh, Steven Spielberg lives there. I took like two tours, and I got three, somehow between two tour guides, three different people living there. was like, who lives there again? Do you even remember who you said that lives there?
Well, we kept here. We did a Jack the Ripper tour our final night in London. It's funny. Well, because Jack the Ripper, real guy or woman or whoever, but all his haunts were bombed out during World War II. So we're going down alleys, and this is the neighborhood. Of course, none of the buildings are still here because they were all blown up during the war. Oh, okay. Like one or two of the churches where the prostitutes used to hang out, those are still there. And we did see a junkie shooting up between his toes as we went down one of the alleys.
Did you really?
Yeah, so that was fun.
Authentic.
It
was very. Yeah,
yeah, that's a good spot they use.
Why?
Keeps
Jeff,
it from bruising.
Jeff.
Doesn't show up on if they have to go to a parole hearing, right. That sort of thing.
Come on, Cody. Get with your opiates.
A lot of veins down there.
Yeah, makes
right
sense.
In. Boom.
Yeah.
So he had his shoe and sock off, and he was shooting up, and then he was quiet as he finished, but then as our group passed him, he became very belligerent.
Yeah.
Started screaming for us to get out of the alley, which we were.
Sounds like a bad high.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything about heroin.
I mean, neither, but
other than
I'm assuming.
Shooting it up. I thought you nodded off
when
you took heroin.
Yeah, I thought it was a chill thing.
I don't know. I've seen, I mean, you've seen both. Yeah, you've
312-981-7200.
Your heroin experience is next. Yeah, no.
Da-da-da-da. Yeah, we're going to make Cody shoot up just to see how it works.
just kidding. Heroin's a bad thing.
Yes, we're bringing back all the old radio stunts. Remember when guys used to have their producer shoot up?
Oh, right.
You had to do that back in the day, didn't you?
Yeah, Steve Dahl. He was the worst at it.
Yeah. Put him in a barrel, shoot him up.
Winners don't do drugs.
They don't?
No.
Well, this guy thought he was a winner.
Started a video game arcade cabinet.
Explain Mark McGuire.
Wow.
Checkmate. Checkmate.
He may have won in the short term, but in the long term, he's a loser.
All right.
Now, I was listening to the broadcast. Sounds like you guys were having fun over there.
We did. We had a grand old time.
Yeah. What's next? Any big? Any other big remotes coming up? Are you doing a Halloween show this year?
No Halloween show this year. We're gonna go. We'll be back out every month at the United Center. Next month, we're gonna go to Queenie's, which is the new supper club.
I saw Brian posting some pictures of the chow that they brought out there.
Oh,
that
man.
Looked high line.
Food was good.
Swanky.
It's Queenie's. It was named after Rocky Wirtz's grandmother.
Okay.
And it's a supper club, so it's an old school like 70s era supper club.
Wow.
Teak floor. Wood floors. There's like a baby grand piano built into the seating.
Where in
and
the
so,
you,
yeah,
you
so
see,
it's open
it?
To the public on event nights, not just Hawks, but Hawks, Bulls, concerts, whatever's going on there. And it's open to the public. You don't have a ticket to get in. And the entrance is right off the atrium, the new atrium there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then it's on the second floor there, and they have a big balcony that overlooks the atrium. And then we're going to do a show from the balcony next month out there.
All right, well, if you need anybody to schlep equipment or something.
Yeah, sure thing.
It'd be fun if I get a nice fedora.
Yeah, I'm sure that can be had. Speaking of hats, which hat did you go with?
I didn't buy any hats.
Oh, jeez.
I was...
Social media lied to me again.
No. I was... It's funny. I did... I called into Nick's show. Dan, Nick's producer, sent me an email. I was like, hey, I know you're on vacation, but you know, we talk to people in England all the time. Would you call in? So Friday morning, I called. Now, when I was a couple years ago, when we were going to see Molly in Madrid, I was talking about hats because I do fancy myself not only a bow tie aficionado, but a hat guy.
Yeah.
And so Dan asked me that Friday morning. He said, oh, are you looking for all kinds of hats? And I said, well, I've been looking, but I haven't got any. And so I was taking pictures of all the hats that I was trying on, trying to decide if I was actually going to purchase a hat and then bring it back. And I couldn't pull the trigger because I needed a dark brown hat. And all the cool hats that I was trying on were either black or a purple top hat, which was my personal favorite.
That was pretty cool.
I liked the purple top hat. The deer stalker, the Sherlock Holmes hat, I had that on, a couple of derbies. I tried on at the Churchill War Rooms. I put on a Homburg that much modeled after Churchill. I looked pretty good in it. I'm not going to lie. But it was the wrong color. It was black. It doesn't go with my top coat. I'd have to buy a new top coat to match the hat.
No,
plus, then I have to walk through the airport. I can't pack it, so I got to walk through the airport with a Churchill Homburg on. That's going to draw some attention, especially then when I'm jammed into steerage on American with my knees up to my ears and then the brim of the Homburg just sitting because I'm so cramped in my veal-like space. So, no, I did not buy a hat, but I tried on many. I probably have British head lice, if if you'd like to come over and pick some nits off me. That's no? Okay. We'll take a pass on that. Yeah. But so, no, I didn't get a hat. I didn't get it. Have you ever been to England?
I have.
London, all over? Where did
London,
you go?
London. I'm just pretty much just London. I had a few days.
It's phenomenal, isn't it?
Oh, the life there is, I mean, the people, it's just energy is incredible.
It's nonstop. Cody, you'd like it. They speak 300 languages a day.
I've been there.
You've been to London?
I've been to England a couple times.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It was, I don't know how we use the term old over here.
Right.
There's nothing old.
Yeah, I know.
There's
right?
nothing old here. Even if we think, you know, you go to Harvard or something.
Right.
Or you go to Holy Name and you go, man, this is old. What's going on here? Please.
Right.
There's nothing old here. This is.
They scoff at our 1670s.
Oh, my God.
The closest I've been in the U.S. is Washington, D.C.
Okay.
And they're all still newer, but the monuments are in an architectural style to give you this. It's because having been to Europe, a lot of Europe's that way, right?
Oh, most of Europe is. Yeah. Yeah. Like, everything is.
Oh, yeah. The
that's
Oracle.
Why they call it the New World.
Right. Because it's Europe.
Right.
It's just old. Everything's old.
But yeah, DC like emulates it to a degree, I think. But yeah,
and this is not a new thought by any means.
No.
And but when you're standing there, like we were at the ancient Roman baths in Bath, and which is how they pronounce it.
Bath.
They don't say Bath, and they mocked Americans. Right. We don't say Bath; we say Bath. All right,
water.
Fine, whatever. Go to the toilet. I mean, it was always the toilet, which I got used to because I'm kind of base. But it still sounded weird coming out of my mouth. Well, no, because they said if you ask for the restroom, nobody's going to know where the restroom is. And nobody says loo, because in every pub I was in, or the airport, every restaurant, every building, it just says toilet.
Man.
So it's
privy?
Gentleman's toilet? Nope, toilet.
Hmm.
So it's like, hey, they make it very easy. What do you need to do? I need a toilet. Oh, they're right down here in the tube, the underground. So way out. No exit, no... Go this way, way out. Oh, I need to way out. And you just follow the sign. They make it very direct. I like that about the British.
A simple people.
Yes, there's not mincing of words. It's like, here you go. But to my point, we've all stood in these magnificent places. Take Westminster Abbey or the ancient baths. And you look at
Louis
this.
Baths.
The baths. Well, it's the baths in Bath.
Oh, then I, that's.
It's
I,
weird.
You lost
I know.
Me.
I understand. But you're just going. How did the people who lived thousands of years ago create this stuff that is still here? We're still walking on the same roads. We're standing in the same cathedral. We're in the same museum. And we can't buy stuff at home that lasts 5 years.
Yeah, you can't build a road in Chicago that lasts 6 months.
Exactly. And these things have lasted thousands of years. And these people had nothing. No electricity, no power tools. It's Stonehenge. They said the stones come from at least 120 miles away. How would they come on?
Slave labor, and that's really
well, sure, and aliens. But other than that, it's still a mystery, just a mystery.
It is, you especially you're like, oh, this cobblestone back alley dates to like the 1300s. You're like, what? How is that possible?
Yeah, exactly. And you haven't covered over it,
right?
It's still here.
It's still in working order.
Well, sure, junkies are very comfortable shooting up on it. Everything's fine.
It feels good on their toes.
There was the only time I became kind of overwhelmed. And I don't know why. This makes no sense to me. We were in Westminster Abbey taking the tour, and the chair that they used for the coronation was there. And it's this beat-up old wooden chair. Have you seen it? Yeah, it's just it's a big wooden basic chair because it was built, you know, however many hundreds, thousands of years ago. And then next to it is a memorial to FDR because there's 300 and some people buried in Westminster Abbey, but then there's a lot of memorials throughout. And as I was reading the inscription about FDR, all of a sudden I felt all these emotions, and I was like, stop with the emotions. But I became kind of overwhelmed, and I was like, I don't know. I'm not a huge like FDR historian, but I think reading that and hearing having heard all week about the bombings and the war and this and that, it was just like everything kind of, and I was tired.
Blaming on the lack of sleep.
No, I was very emotional. I was very emotional. It was moved. The whole place was just very moving, and the pub culture is phenomenal.
Oh my God! You know, when I was there, we stayed kind of near Wimbledon. A friend growing up, her father was an executive for BP. This guy used to commute in the 90s to London during the week. Oh my God. On the Concorde. I kid you not.
Well.
Yeah, he's like their president of information technologies. Like, okay. So this guy is, you know.
Big wig.
Big wig. And so they had a flat that the company paid for on the Thames, and he put us up there for a couple days.
Oh.
But it was this old area, and it was next door to Mick Jagger's daughter.
Well, okay, so, sure. Look at
you. I drop these names everywhere I can.
I like it.
But the coolest part was when to walk to the tube, you had to walk, cut through these like alleyways across these old churches, and there are these, you know, you see these tombstones, and they're, you know, they've been whitewashed by, you know, acid rain. Yes. Not acid rain, any rain, but over hundreds of years, and you're looking at it, and it's like 1212 to you know here lies Mary Lou, you know, 1212 to, you know, whatever, 1240, right. And you're like, holy crap, like I can't even think about stuff that's old.
No, it's dumbfounding.
Yeah,
at some point you're just like, oh my God.
Right.
And maybe, I don't know if you guys are like me, probably not. There's a point on any vacation like that where I appreciate the majesty and the history, but at some point I go, not another cathedral, please. I mean, we saw cathedrals everywhere. Westminster Abbey was the last one. And you know the difference between an abbey and a cathedral, don't you?
No, tell me.
Well, now I have to remember. Cathedral has a bishop in it. And Abbey was run by priests and monks.
All right.
So the
we learned about that on the last podcast with the beer, because it was the
Abbey Ales. Look at you. You listen to the podcast? I know you were here. I don't even listen when I'm here.
I edited it, and I didn't even listen to it.
No, that's
actually not true, because I got halfway through, and you know the coffee stout they gave us?
Yes.
I got halfway through. It was like 11 p.m. the night I was supposed to fly out from Belize, and I turned to my wife, and I was like, I'm going to get a beer out of the fridge.
In keeping with my, we always have to have a beer, part of the tour was a visit to a Gloucester Brewing, a little brewery in Gloucester. And Jan, the Dutch brewmaster, gave us a little tour. And it was, I was like, oh, this is perfect. So I got his car. He may be coming. He may be coming to Chicago. I put a big sell on him. But that was a night where everybody got kind of, half the group didn't go. Not half, maybe a quarter of the group didn't go, because they either didn't drink, or they were tired, or they had heard some stuff from the group the week before, because my group overlapped with Steve Bertrand's group for a day, and people were complaining about the trip, but it was a whole misunderstanding. Anyway, we get to the Gloucester Brewing, and I thought it was going to be one of these, like, American brewery tours, where you go, oh, here's your sample,
right.
And that's it. So I try this Imperial Stout, which they could only serve legally in a half pint, because it was over there. Over there, the craft beers are not as high in alcohol,
right?
Like 4.5-5%, which I learned was because of taxes. So you're taxed up to a certain alcohol level at one level, then it goes up, then it goes up. So,
which makes very good sense in my
opinion. I guess.
I mean, think about it. You're trying to keep people from getting sloshed. You tax them at a higher percent. I mean, it makes sense.
That's fair.
Eh, all right.
Well, I mean, I should be paying the same taxes on a 2% Bud Light as I am for a 10% Dogfish.
Why are you over there drinking a 2% Bud Light?
Well, I got to brush my teeth with something.
All right, exactly. There was one. We went into our last pint of the trip. We stopped at a pub, and Debbie went to order something, and the guy goes, "That's only 2%." And she was like, "Oh no, never mind." She jumped up to like a 4.5%. But I try. So I have my half pint of this stout, and I'm like, oh, this was great. And I say to the, because half the group was in with the brewer getting the tour, and we were sitting out with a nice buffet they had put out, and we're sitting in the tap room. And I said, is it possible for me to buy another beer? She goes, no. She goes, the beer and the pop is all included. So you drink as much as you want. And then once everybody heard that, it was like, woohoo. The party's on.
Boy.
So people had they cut loose. People had, it was a nice group. We had 43 in the group. And that seemed to be not one of the highlights, but a fun, that was what a lot of people were talking about after. Because it was just, it wasn't another history thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't very structured. It was, you go, you hang out, you drink a couple beers, then you go in and the brewmaster tells you how he makes them. And he was funny and then people, I knew people had fun because they were buying beers, they were buying T-shirts, they were, you know. So it was a lot of fun. Making memories. A lot of pictures.
I bet.
I took over 1,200 pictures.
Whoa.
Are you serious?
I went.
That's a very specific number.
I went to take them off my phone. That's how I know.
Holy cow!
And it was There might be some duplicates. It could be. I might have only taken 1,100. But still impressive.
The group was good, though. You had consternation before you left.
Here's the thing with a tour, and I've been weighing this nonstop. You have to balance the amount of stuff you see. There's no doubt on a tour you see a ton of stuff. We wouldn't have been able to see on our own that much stuff and in that amount of time and gotten that amount of information. And having a great guide like we did, Sandra was our guide, and she, a font of information. The training for these Blue Badge guides, it's like a three-year training. And then you have to take all these exams, and you have to take not only exams, but then you have to take an exam on the bus where you're leading a group. And she now is a teacher as well, a trainer. So she knows her stuff, or she's an excellent liar, because either way, I believe 99% of
that's what they say. Like, the cab drivers in this Chicago have to go through all this testing and stuff. And then you're like, no, there's no way.
Oh, they brag about their cab drivers over there.
Right. They say our cab drivers go, like, they try to.
Yeah. Oh, we don't do it.
They try to copy that. And then again, no.
Come on. Stop. Our cab drivers don't even know where Michigan Avenue is.
Right.
Well, they do, but they don't know what a stoplight is. There's a lot.
A turn signal for
not kids.
Not that I'm bitter.
No, you're a little upset. That's all right. Get it out. This is the place. Vent. vent. So back to your point, because I was nervous. So you're seeing all this stuff. That is definitely the pro, and that pro outweighs everything else. The con is that you're on a schedule with a bunch of other people and people you don't necessarily know. Now, we were very lucky. The group that we went with made up of really wonderful people. There were people from all different walks of life. Most of them were retired. I think there was one couple who was a couple years younger than Debbie and myself, and everybody else was older. A couple people came on their own, which was, I don't know if I could do that, but they had a good time. And so everybody was great. The problem is, when you have 43 people, and you're told, well, there's a toilet here.
Oh.
Well, a toilet break for 43 people takes a little time. And when you're on a tight schedule, things get a little rushed.
Especially if it's an older crowd.
Yes, and it was. And some of the people, you know, as you get older, sometimes you're limited a little more physically. Some people walked a little slower. Our guide walked very fast. She was in her 60s. She walked very fast. And some of the group could keep up with her. Some of the group was lagging behind. There were a number of times where I had to be, as she said, the donkey's tail. And so I would have to drop back to make sure that we didn't lose anybody, because one stop we did lose a couple.
Uh-oh.
And they missed out on our cruise down the Thames.
Don't.
Yeah. Let's just say we were a little rushed at the Tower of London. And we did get to see the crown jewels, but I didn't get to see where the torture went on.
That was the coolest part of it.
I know. That's what I'm saying. So you're on other people's schedule. You don't get to spend as much time at some of the places. I wanted to see where they tortured people in the armory and all of that.
The rack.
That much, right? Like,
oh, yeah. There's a whole room. And they have the rack where they would stretch people. Right?
And then downstairs. In the basement.
Right.
Well, the crown jewels are downstairs.
No. The crown jewels are in their own building in a vault where the door is almost this thick. And okay. I make a move to the studio.
I saw the crown jewels 20 years ago, probably.
Were they just laid out on the hood of a cab? I don't think those are the right ones.
No. I saw the crown jewels. No, okay, I love the crown jewels. I actually, like, weirdly thought it was one of my favorite parts of the whole, like, Europe trip.
It's very cool.
I mean, they're jewelry, whatever, but they're next level.
No, when you have the coronation swords and the crown that the queen got coronated in, and
The size of them.
Brits know how to do it.
I mean, they ruled the world for centuries. Well, the queen's face is on the all of Belizean currency.
I know.
I was in Belize.
That's right.
Central America. And,
well,
we get to that later.
For all the good things about the queen, we were at her house. She was home. Didn't come out and say hello.
Rude.
Rude. Very rude.
Jeez.
You know, it's a rainy day. You figure, you know, maybe come out, offer us a spot of tea.
Maybe it was the day she bathes her corgis.
Could have been. It was a Sunday. I don't know. And it was only a couple days after Eugenie's wedding. That's right, Eugenie.
Well,
Eugenie. Eugenie.
She was between public appearances, right? So she was probably in her cryogenic freezing chamber so that she didn't have to age for another couple of weeks.
I pictured her...
Demolition Man style?
I pictured her just sitting, because it was radiant cold when we got to Windsor Castle. I pictured her just in a big, like one of those sleep sacks, kind of watching Netflix.
A snuggie.
Yeah, just watching Netflix, chilling with the corgis, a the big fire going, on,
yeah,
huge fire.
Feet up on a very nicely adorned... ottoman
and a beautiful teapot, and then a bottle of like Jack, and just a little nip. Ooh, a nip for the queen. That's what I pictured. I don't know if it's true, and I don't know what that accent was.
She's probably more of a Johnny Walker person.
You think?
Say.
Perhaps gin, the big thing.
Yeah.
Did you have some good gin?
We went to the Bombay Sapphire Distillery and learned a couple recipes for fantastic gin drinks. That was another fun little excursion. But that was during the day. We were on our way from, I think that was Stonehenge Day. I don't know. All the days kind of blend together.
I can imagine.
You know, that's why thankfully I posted some pictures, which I tried to stay off social media until we got back to the hotels. So I would, as I was getting ready to go to bed, then I would kind of catalog my day and do it that way. Plus, you know, you got Wi-Fi at the hotels, but you didn't get it anywhere else. So we did have some gin. I had a lot of cask beers, as the guys, as Jesse and John told me, which Debbie didn't like because they're kind of room temperature.
Yeah.
But man, oh man, they were good.
And a lot of flavor.
I've got, yeah, and I'm going to publish. I've got pictures of all the shields and a lot of the pints, so Brian Drinks England will be coming soon. Ooh. Where you get to see all the places where I drank. I will say this. I am much too large for Europe. I knew that from Madrid and the United Kingdom. I walked into a pub in Oxford. We were
I think
told.
I saw this picture on your.
No, that was in Stratford upon Avon. That was a 350-year-old windmill bar. Where I was standing in the ceiling, I had to tilt my head. Twice going into pubs, I hit my head horribly. One was going into the one in Oxford. The concierge said, I said, I want to go where, you know, locals go. Oh, go here, go down, and it's down an alley. And I was like, ooh, I like down an alley. That sounds good. Maybe I'll see a junkie shooting up. Who knows? Well, the other group's guide had told them about the same thing. So there were some like people from our group, but then it was all locals. And it was Sunday, which in pub culture, you guys probably know this, is Sunday roast. On Sundays, they do a big roast at the pubs. So you could get either beef, a veal, or lamb. Beef, chicken, or lamb, whatever. And it comes with the Yorkshire pudding and the gravy, it's the whole thing. So we were like, ooh, it's Sunday. We're going to go to the pub and get our Sunday roast. So we start to go in, and you had to step down, and all the doors are very short. Everybody's wee over there. It's like a land of leprechauns, even though Ireland, I know, is a land of leprechauns, but these people are short. And as I step down to go in, I see the bar, and I immediately start to scan the cask beers, and I don't scan the beam that is squared up with my forehead with a sign that says, mind your head, poof, and I whack my head, and the bartender looks, and to his credit, he didn't laugh, but a smile crept across his face, and Debbie said, that happens all the time, doesn't it? And he went, yep. You son of a bitch. But then I had I had my Sunday roast and a couple of pints, and all was right with the world. Yeah, well, yeah. And then we wandered the streets. It was beautiful. We saw so much. So we've been trying to decide, would we go on a tour again? And the verdict is yes, because we stayed in nice hotels. You've got, as you start to add up, because I know what the cost of the tour was. So I went, well, I wonder if you could do it. But you've got air. You've got nice hotels everywhere. You don't have to touch your bag. You put your bag out in the hall. They take it to the bus. They take it off the bus. All you have is your carry-on. We had breakfast every morning. We had four meals, dinners. We saw everything. You know, all the sites were included. You didn't have to buy tickets to anything. All of that. So you deal with the fact that would I have liked to stay at Tower of London a little longer? Sure. Would I have liked to have seen a little more of one or two other things? Yeah, but I couldn't have seen what I saw without a tour. So once you get past the fact that you start out with strangers, but after the first day or so, everybody knows each other.
Sure.
So it was fun. It was fun. I would go again.
Major highlights? Is there a favorite part of the checkpoint?
I've been trying to figure that out because that's the question. What was your favorite part? Everybody says, what was your favorite part? And I don't know. The excitement of, we landed at 7 o'clock Friday morning, and we couldn't check into our hotel until 3. We had to be at the Victoria and Albert Museum at 10 to take a two-hour tour and have breakfast. Well, we landed a little early, so we got Buckingham Palace. All that to say, we got to the hotel at 3 or 4, and our dinner, our big welcome dinner, wasn't until 7:30. So my highlight was, instead of sitting in the hotel or whatever, Debbie and I dumped our carry-ons. We went down, found where the underground station was, looked at the map on the underground, talked to a guy who worked there, took the underground, found the London Eye, went up in the London Eye, saw all of that. And then as we finished the London Eye, we were walking back. We decided, let's go find a pub and have our first pint. We wandered in, and it was a Friday afternoon. Everybody was getting off work. It was kind of like being downtown outside of this pub because they can take their drinks outside. So I look down this real narrow street, and I see a ton of people. And I'm like, well, that's got to be a pub, but I'm betting it's too packed. Well, no, everybody was outside. So you could just walk in, get a pint. We came out. We stood there, had our drink, and then got back on the tube, got back to the hotel, and went to the dinner, and everybody's like, oh, yeah, we just kind of crashed. We walked next door because we were right next to the British Museum. A couple people went there. But like, what'd you do? Oh, we went to the underground. We did all that. So to me, that was because I like exploring.
Yeah.
And so for us to jump around, and Friday when we were on our own, we took like 6 different tube lines, and we went all over the city, and we went to – you know, Westminster Abbey and Churchill War Rooms and Harrods, and then back to the hotel and to the Jack the Ripper tour. And we found this little, we were told, the guide at the end of the Jack the Ripper tour said, oh, that church down there, that's where some of the hookers hang out, and across the street is the 10-pin pub. That was there during Jack the Ripper time, but it's not a great pub. It's not friendly, blah, blah, blah. But if you go another couple blocks, you're on Brick Lane, which is Bengali Town. And it's all Indian restaurants. It's the big Indian neighborhood in London. And we were told, I didn't know this beforehand, that Indian food is like one of the top cuisines in London.
Sure. It's their Mexican.
Yeah, exactly. So we wander out. Debbie's like, oh, all right. So we walk down there. By this time, we're beat. But the street looks kind of dodgy between where the pub and the church are and the next traffic light where it looks like is Brick Lane. And I'm like, I don't want it. And she's like, no, let's go. And I was like, all right. So, and I'm like, my spidey senses are tingling. But we get there, and all of a sudden we turn onto this street, and it's like we're just in Bombay. There's Indian restaurants up and down both sides of the street. Guys trying to hustle you in like old strip joints in Times Square. Oh, you're coming here, my friend. And so we're walking down. Now, we're gonna look at the menu. Like, we know the difference. Like, you know that. And so after the first guy tried to drag us in, I'm like, no, no. And then we went to the next one, and there was nobody trying to drag us in. So we looked in, and there were a lot of people sitting in there, all locals. We went in. It was the greatest. We found this little tiny Indian restaurant, had wonderful food and great service. And at the end, the guy, we had paid and everything. He was, can I interest you in a short of Bailey's or Drambuie or anything? So we got this little cocktail at the end. So that was fun because it was so off the beaten path. And we walked around Chinatown. We almost saw Steve Carell.
Was he shooting something?
And there was the premiere of his new movie in Leicester Square, which is adjacent to Chinatown. And so we had been the first Friday night that we were there. We had time after dinner. So we decided we were going to walk. So we walked through the West End and Soho and Piccadilly Circus, and then we came up back through Chinatown and Leicester Square. And we made a few stops here and there because, you know.
Dalliances.
It was Saturday night. Saturday night in London. So you got to have a couple pubs.
Sure.
Or hit a couple pubs. We also went to the Firehouse in Soho, the Chinatown Fire Station, and bought a T-shirt. Because fire stations around the world, I guess, sell T-shirts to raise funds. I learned that from Chris Duffy. So we had gotten a few when we were in New Orleans in different cities. So we have I have a T-shirt from the Soho Fire Station in Chinatown in London.
Huh.
But anyway, so we're wandering through Chinatown. And as you can imagine, London on a Saturday night is packed. Just wall-to-wall people. So we duck into a pub. There were a lot of Seahawks fans out there because this was the night before the Seahawks and Raiders played.
Stupid NFL in London.
Stupid NFL fans in London. When a guy in Adidas sliders and Raiders gear is yelling at a Seahawks fan as we're waiting to enter England in the customs line. I'm like, really? You are such a dolt. But they love their football over there.
Their football?
Their football, and now they're loving the football.
Football. Mm-hmm.
So we're in this pub, and we're sitting, you know, the door, let's say, so I'm sitting where I'm sitting, and the door is right behind me. And we're by the windows, and we're having a conversation with a guy from a really horrible neighborhood in England where gunshots were right around the corner from his house where his kids go to school. He's telling us all this. His fiance is from Ireland. And we're sitting at the corner of the bar having our beers, and all of a sudden there's a big hubbub with the fans and the people who are sitting outside, and you start seeing luxury vehicles pull up. And they're like, oh, something must be going on. I don't care. So I'm sitting there having my beer. We're talking to this guy, and all of a sudden some more cars start coming. And then, now you're seeing cameras go off, and you see beefy security guys pushing back the Seahawks fans and everybody else. And I thought, well, maybe it's – stupidly, I thought, well, maybe it's some of the players.
Right.
But they're not out the night before a game in Chinatown, you know. Turns out – after the bartender has run out a couple times and the Irish fiance has gone out and other people have gone out, they come back in and they go, Steve Carell. And the bartender, who was a young woman, said, Steve Carell, he looked very old. And then the Irish fiance came in and went, Steve Carell, I don't know who that is. And I was like, oh, he's from The Office. Not your office, but the American office. Okay. He was there because his movie had premiered just around the corner in Leicester Square, and they were having a big after party in the club next door. So I was probably 20 feet from Steve Carell.
Steve Carell adjacent?
Yeah, couldn't have cared less. And I like Steve Carell. It's not a slam on Steve Carell. It was like, well, I'm in Britain. I'm in England, London drinking a pint in a pub. I'm not, you know.
Yeah.
I can watch Steve Carell on the plane. You know, I'm not going to stand out there like an idiot. Go, oh, Steve Carell, click, click. I got 1,200 pictures, not one of Steve Carell.
Wow,
yeah,
it's restrained.
So everything was a highlight. There was nothing. The worst part was flying back because the flight was sold out. I was supposed to have an aisle seat and I didn't. So originally I had the middle seat. Thank God Debbie loves me. She gave me the window and she sat in the middle. And it was the most...
A Samoan sat next to her, I'm assuming.
Oh, it was the most uncomfortable ride. The flight over was fine because they moved people around. So we had the middle seat open and everybody got moved. It was nice. The flight home was awful. And then, God bless America. Trying to get back through customs into this country.
God.
I find myself always going, I live here, damn it.
Yeah,
I'm an American. Yeah. I'm an American. Let me back. How many times do you have to see in a 15-yard area? How many times do you have to see my passport? How many checks do I have to go through? I'm happy to show you my passport. I'm happy to let you check. I'll wait for my bag. I'll show you another time. Then I'll show you. I shouldn't have to show you it four times just to get out of the corral.
You were lucky.
Before what, did I you got... get strip searched because of your shark tooth? Jeff, did you notice his shark tooth necklace?
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Is that what they thought you were bringing drugs back in?
No. Before we got on the plane, when I was in the airport, I bought a banana to bring on the plane because I'm diabetic and I like to have a little bit of, you know, backup carb action so that I don't have to, like, desperately beg for extra bags of pretzels if I want to survive in case my blood sugar goes low.
You didn't stick it down the front of your pants, did you?
No.
All right.
No. But I was happy to see... America, I guess. So we get there, and we're in the... So I get off the plane, and I was like, oh, I got to throw away this banana. No trash can. All right, we walk through the line, no trash can, get to customs. There's another line, no trash can. No trash cans anywhere. Finally get to the front, and it's like, you have to declare fruits and vegetables. Don't do it to avoid a fine, a hefty fine, and wait time, and basically threatening signs everywhere. Yes. They basically say you're going to be arrested and charged with a felony. Yeah. So we get to the thing, and Casey's like, just throw it out. I'm like, there's no trash.
Just leave it somewhere.
So we get up there, and I was like, he's like, do you have any fruits or vegetables with you? First thing out of his mouth, and I'm not going to lie because I don't want to get busted by our police state. So I'm like, I got a banana in my pocket, but I just want to throw it away. And he's just like, I don't know if that's okay. Where are you coming from? And I'm like, police. So he yells at some guy. Is Belize banana? Go down this escalator, go down this
Belize
line.
Belize banana.
So I have to wait in a separate line, which takes at least 20 minutes, where everyone else has a dog. I guess it was like the pet line or something. So we get to the front, and they go, what do you have with you? And I hand him the little thing with banana written on it. The guy just jots it down on my ticket or whatever. And I'm like, I just have a banana. I just want to throw it away. I don't even need this. I just have it. So they're like, put it here. So I put on this conveyor belt, we put all of our bags. We both had two carry-ons, so we didn't check anything. We put all four of our carry-ons on the conveyor belt for this special machine, and I put the banana on the conveyor belt. And it goes through, and I don't know what they're scanning for. Like, it's not a metal detector.
Could be an explosive banana.
Some magic. Well, like, what is this
Maybe
thing?
Maybe you have something in there.
Now, this is probably unrelated, but there was a story a couple of weeks ago about a gigantic shipment of bananas busted the bananas were filled with cocaine.
Yes. I saw
and they look, so they look like banana, and they're like, oh, it's just a bunch of bananas. No, it's cocaine.
Nope. Our country, I swear to God. So it goes through the machine, and they go, you're good. And that was it. Just, you know.
So you got to keep the banana?
There's a half hour of your time, so I get to keep the banana.
Did you eat the banana out of just, you know?
You had to eat the banana.
When I got home last night, I ate the banana.
Thank God.
Oh. But yeah, but it was this whole thing for a banana.
I would have saved it.
This country, forever. Man, it's just, oh, man. Like, Casey used to travel a lot.
Listen, don't you go bad-mouthing this country.
Hey. I will.
Commie.
Casey used to travel a lot,
Pinko?
Right? Internationally, all the time. She got a Fulbright scholarship. She lived on three continents. She was in and out Argentina and
she's
the U.S.
much smarter than
4 years.
I hear that.
Way smarter than me. But
I'm assuming everybody in this room, really.
She is.
Yeah.
She has more international travel experience than probably anybody I know that hasn't, like, you know, that's not, like, from somewhere else. And she's like, I don't know if it's the time or my age or whatever, but, like, I don't even know if traveling is fun anymore because airports are so bad.
Heathrow is an awful airport. There's no bathrooms. I did not like.
Well,
the
we
Heathrow
got into
airport.
Houston, and just the customs process was at least 2 hours, like full hours. And it's
really?
Like, what are you doing? Like we literally did have, and we had to wait in three separate lines. We had to get off, and then they scanned everything, and then they punched us in, and then we went through another regular security line, just as if we were, like, getting on a plane somewhere. It was ridiculous.
Well, listen, don't travel to these places where, that are on high alert.
Belize is,
I'm sure anything south of our southern border is on high alert.
Anything tropical or anything, as Jeff said, south.
But it's like you said, how many times do you need to see my passport?
I don't know.
The TSA has a blight. I'm sorry. I cannot stand the organization. And did they tell you welcome home?
They did not. I was just going to say, I've always gotten a welcome home before. I didn't get a welcome home this time.
I haven't gotten
Maybe
a
they didn't want me
welcome
around.
Home.
Thank you, Jim.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Jim.
I haven't gotten a welcome home in years.
Really?
Casey and I had both of us. We're like, it's been at least like 4 or 5 years since we've gotten a welcome home.
I bemoan only the fact that, and I understand the kiosks are to move things along a little bit. I don't like that there aren't a few more people there because people have trouble with these kiosks. How do we slide our passport in? What do we do? Can more than one family member go? Because they blow through all these announcements on the either on the flight or as you're walking in, so you don't really know, and people are just like weeping and falling on the floor. It's like, oh, come on. And you try to get your passport in there, and at Heathrow, I actually almost punched the machine because I was trying to get my boarding pass, and I'd press the button, nothing would happen, and I'd press it, nothing would happen, boom. Nothing really happened then either. There was a point where it's like, really, you don't have any people here to help? So, yeah, I love being places, and I'm not unique in saying going to and from is the worst part.
Yep.
Being there If I could just, if there was a technology to just beam me over.
They're working on that, but it's a few years out.
Well, listen, I'm going to hang on then. I'm going to try to keep going because there's got to be a better way. I like the Concorde idea, even though they don't do it anymore.
Are they building a new one? So
well, maybe I also like the fact that if you're well, like with anything, if you have money, if you're flying first class or business class,
oh man,
forget about it. I'd fly everywhere. You know, you're laying down, you're doing, but no, I'm back in steerage with the rest of the Yahoos. And, man, we're packed in.
You know, in Belize, we went by a tiny runway, and there were a few private jets there. And I looked at Casey, and I'm just like, you know, a lot of people give a lot of flack to these billionaires that just fly in private jets everywhere. And I'm like, you know what? I don't even blame them anymore.
No, God bless them.
Because it's such a pain going through all that crap. It's like, you want to spend $2 million in a private jet? I don't even blame you. I would do it. It's not even a waste of money.
If you have the means, well, first of all, then you don't have to deal with the unwashed.
I don't mind the unwashed so much, unless you're talking about the unwashed of the TSA. Yeah, shots fired.
Oh, look, wow.
Dude,
yeah,
I will throw down. This is a hill I will die on.
Don't travel with Cody anymore because he just went on the no-fly list.
He's on your list now.
I'm on all the lists. You know what? They got to chill out and they got to be nice like every other country. Every other country I go to, they're like, hi, welcome, good to see you, whatever. Like, they're nice.
Really?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, Belize, not as nice as the last couple times I went to Europe, but like last time I went to London, they were nice. Last time I went to Spain, they were nice.
I found the people, the citizenry, to be very nice. And there's, I do like the British accent. I like that.
Did you run into lots of Scots and Irish people as well?
I don't know because every
hard to tell them apart.
Yeah, there's it is.
They don't wear those scarlet letters anymore.
Everybody is everybody. I mean, London. Who knows? You know, it's so global. I did find one. I know for a fact I met one Scotsman. Only because we went in Stratford-upon-Avon, we had some time. We went in to have lunch or dinner at a pub, of course. Why wouldn't you? I'm not.
One in Rome.
What am I going to go to Chili's?
Although the Chili's in London is very nice.
You know what?
Have you been there?
No.
Sarah, who works here, Sarah Tiemann,
mm-hmm.
said the Pizza Hut buffet in London is not to be missed.
I mean, the Pizza Hut buffet in general is one of my favorites.
Well, sure, but in London, I didn't take her up on it. And I did see a few chains over, like unique chains that I thought, oh, that would be fun to try. Like Pizza Express, somebody on the tour went there and they said it was really good, like artisan pizza. And they had other, you know,
which just doesn't, the name Pizza Express does not scream out artisan pizza.
No, it's like, hey, here's a slice of some, you know, it's like a bodega in New York. It's like, here, have a slice for $2.
Right.
Okay. Fantastic.
Hard Rock Cafe in London, also quite good.
That is the original Hard Rock Cafe.
Oh, that's why.
That is the original Hard Rock Cafe.
Sequel's never as good.
No. It's like you try to eat Uno's on the road.
Right.
You know, if you don't go to Uno's here, you might as well.
Even Douay is not that good.
I'm going to argue with you on that one. I'm going to argue. The reason we always had to go to Douay is because back in the day, Uno's didn't have high chairs. So when my brother.
And you have an efficiency.
Well, no, this was when my dad and mom would take us. Yeah. We had to go eat at Douay's because my brothers, I was already, you know, a big strapping lad who could sit in a chair like a big boy. They didn't have high chairs at Uno's because it was so tiny. So if you had a family, you had to eat at Douay's.
That makes sense.
So there you go. We go in to have lunch and. There's the cask beers, and I said to the bartender, I said, oh, what do you know about this one? And he goes, well, despite my Scottish accent, I'm a teetotaler, so I have absolutely no reference point. I was like,
that's like finding a unicorn.
I know.
And that's a Scottish reference.
It is a Scottish reference. So then I was like, oh, really? This guy, he's like Sean Connery. I don't know what's going on. But he said, well, I will tell you, this one sells the most. So well, then let me try this one.
Honest, I don't know.
Yeah, so I'll try this one. But that was the only Scottish or Irish guy that I knew of. I mean, there were a lot of, at some of the bigger hotels that we stayed in, the staffs, a lot of Eastern European ladies, like the concierge and the people at the desk, a lot of Eastern European people there, just everybody. It's definitely a worldly city. And see, I don't know. Seems like everybody gets along as well as they get along anywhere. Now it's not it's not some idealized city, but it's people all kind of do what they got to do, and they move around and They get it done. It
was a lot fun. Of history too.
Ton of history. Man, ton of history and a lot of new stuff. We were right around the corner from I didn't even know this was a thing. The Bat Out of Hell musical. Jim Steinman's Bat Out of Hell. The Meatloaf album?
Yeah, I know.
A full-blown musical.
Huh.
Right around the corner. And we joked about seeing it, and then we were walking home one night, and the tube stop was right there. And we saw a young couple milling outside, and we said, oh, did you go see the show? And the girl was like, oh, it was fantastic. Brilliant. It was brilliant, actually. If you have to go, I know. No. I'm not saying that to be because we pull you in, and I'm like, I don't want you to feel obligated like you have to stay. You are more than welcome to stay.
Well, I was looking for an out, and yes. I have to listen for the rest of the Belize stories. But
yes,
I do have to wander. I have to be back in this studio in 12 hours.
So, I have to be back in this studio, and I'm out of 10. It's 8 now. So,
well, I'm not going to be allowed back in the studio after I'm detained by the TSA.
Are you doing your podcast in the morning?
Yeah, today with Mr. Cass.
With Mr. Cass. Well, I'll see you tomorrow.
All right.
In the morning.
Sweet, sweet.
You still going to be wearing the hat?
Probably not.
I hope so.
Well,
I wish you would.
I'll have one here just in case.
Right. Put it on just for me.
Just in case.
Fantastic.
Well, gentlemen.
Good to see you.
Bon vivant.
Always a pleasure, Jeff Carlin.
Good seeing you.
Becoming a regular on the podcast. We like that. Drop by. I like that they left the price tag on there, even though they gave them away. Just so you know what the Hawks spent on your hat. Oh, man. So I'm trying to think if there were any other story, like outlandish stories from England.
Did you cross Abbey Road?
Yes. So you know my penchant when it's much like when we were in Madrid. We had a very short amount of time, so we jammed as much as we could. So Friday was supposed, the last day, we left Saturday afternoon. So Friday, the last full day we were there, we were supposed to have the whole day at leisure, as Sandra would say, at leisure. Well, that changed because Westminster Abbey was closed on, we were supposed to do it the Saturday before, like our second day, but they were closed that day. So the tour got pushed back to that Friday. So we go to Westminster Abbey, and then now we're at leisure until 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon when we have to be back for the bus. So that Friday was crazy hectic. We walked about, according to my Fitbit, I think we walked 12 or 14 miles that day.
Wow.
And that was between the tube rides as well. But we saw everything. We went to Harrods, where I realized I don't have one. I don't know how anybody lives in London because it is crazy expensive. The flats and stuff, I don't know. A million, easy. We were being told the prices of inside the city, just crazy.
Yeah,
Harrods was an exercise in opulence and excess. But I'm glad we went. We bought a Christmas ornament. That's basically what we could get there because we saw this. We're walking through looking for the toilets, and Debbie sees this bowl and it's got a beautiful parrot. It's all glass, beautiful parrot overlooking a banana leaf. A glass banana leaf that's the bowl. It's a beautiful sculpture. It's gorgeous. And I say, oh, that's pretty. And I'm thinking, I don't know what it'll cost. £12,000. I was like, wow, I have good taste. But then there's a lot of stuff where the prices are so crazy. And you go, who would put this in their house? What kind of, who has this kind of money? Turns out what we were told is there's a lot of Middle Eastern money coming into London.
I was about to say that the last time I was there,
Middle Eastern money.
We took a taxi in a. I used to work for A.T. Kearney, the consulting firm. We had an office in London.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I was there the last time I was there was for a day. I also went in middle school for a thing, and then I think again in high school I was there for a day or two. So I've been in and out, but when I was there for A.T. Kearney, the office was in a nicer, I guess, higher end kind of office, little couple block area.
Was it the Shard?
I don't know. I don't remember. But when I was on the way there, the taxi driver said, you see those flats up there? They're all $30 million flats,
yeah.
All owned by Saudis.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one is what he said. And he's like, no one in London can afford to live in London anymore.
There was a story that our guide told about, there was an investigation because some woman went in to Harrods the week before and spent some outrageous amount. I want to say £50 million or something. It was some insane amount like that. And all of a sudden, they were being investigated because it was like, well, where'd all that money come from? So very crazy.
Interesting.
But it was – so Harrod's was fun. You know, they have a food court, and it's not Sparrow and Panda Express. You know, a full florist and a meat market and seafood and a caviar and champagne table and a place to get oysters and a full bakery, all this stuff. And that's not counting, like, all the restaurants, the full tea rooms and stuff upstairs. So we're running. We did that. Then we got on the tube, and it's Friday rush hour, and we're jammed on. You know, we got on the we were, like, the last two who get on the tube. But we had decided we were going to try – you know, on the map, everything looks far away. But the more I rode the tube, the more I realized it goes really fast. They're public you know how I hate public transportation here with a passion. I try to avoid it at all costs. Man, if I lived over there, I'd be on the tube all the time. It was the same thing I found in Madrid. Because their trains are clean, they're fast, they show up, they're not breaking down. Every time I'm on a subway in New York when I go to see Molly, every time there's a stoppage. There's, this morning, I wake up, I turn on the news. Oh, the Metra, a freight train has pulled down the tracks. All the Metra trains are stopped by my house. Two crossings near the house are shut down. So I'm like, but over there, man, you're zipping along. So we run back, and now we're trying to get to this Jack the Ripper tour, and I'm getting to Abbey Road because I know you asked, that's the question. But it all kind of shows how much we jam in. So we do all that Jack the Ripper. We eat the Indian food. I had read that the best time to go if you just want to cross a street at Abbey Road is early in the morning because it's a busy intersection.
Yeah.
It's a street.
Locals hate tourists.
Oh, they hate it. And you can tell because some of them, there's like little ledges along, and they've got not barbed wire, but chain and stuff, so you can't just sit on the curb. So somehow it had gotten out. Or people on the tour had asked, not somehow it got. People on the tour had asked, oh, what are you doing Saturday morning? And I said, well, we're going to go to Abbey Road. And Debbie then wanted to go to Portobello Road Market. And so I knew, you know, kind of knew where everything was. And a couple people said, well, can we go with you? And I said, yeah, but I'm leaving early. And here's why. Because we want to get up there before traffic starts. It's a weekend. It'll be a good time to go. I said, lobby at 7:30 if you want to come with me. So about six people came. So now I'm leading a tour. And I get everybody to the underground. We get up there and you get out of the tube. And it's about a 3-block walk over to Abbey Road. And so we got there and it was a beautiful Saturday morning. It was like 55 degrees, sunny. The studio is there Imagine All the People Living in Life in Peace is painted outside where people have signed the wall. And the studio is still a working studio because people were going to work. And about 200 yards away is the crosswalk, and they have a webcam on it. And I've been told now you can go back and download. So I have to go and see if I can still download us walking across. But so we get there and everybody. So we got our picture. We got the picture of Debbie and I walking across the crosswalk at Abbey Road.
Nice.
And then right outside the tube, there was a little coffee kiosk, and we got a little pin that said "I crossed Abbey Road." So that was unbelievable. Just the history, and it's not. You know, I think there was a gift shop that opened later, but it wasn't about that. I just wanted to see it. It was one of those things. I mean, I don't know if I'm ever going back to London, and. While I'm not the biggest Beatles fan, I'm a fan enough to go, this is something I got to see. So we saw that, and then we went to Portobello Road, which was crazy. Did you ever see Bedknobs and Broomsticks?
Oh, forever ago. That was Angela Lansbury,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yes, yes.
Wow.
And that's the song, Portobello Road, street where the riches of ages are sold. So it's this miles-long street, and you know there's shops on there, but on Saturdays, they set up this market. And it starts off with, like, just people setting up retail-y kind of tents and stuff. Then it's more flea market-y. Then it's food stuff. And it's just – and again, we got there real early. So we got in. When we were coming out, it was getting more and more packed. And we're watching the time because we wanted to get lunch. Then we went to, so we've done all this, and now it's like 11:30. We start heading back toward where the hotel is, and I had seen the most British thing I'd ever wanted to see, an umbrella store that had been there since 18. I'm going to get you the date. Been there since 18 something. This umbrella store, designer umbrellas, top of the line umbrellas for top of the line people, for the fancies, the swells, and. It was only a few blocks from the hotel, and I had seen it so often, I thought to myself, I gotta go in this place. I gotta go see this umbrella store, James Smith and Sons, established in 1830. Umbrellas and Stick Store. I looked at an umbrella with a beautifully carved handle. I forget if it was a wolf or something. Take a gander at what an umbrella like that would cost.
300 pounds.
That is exactly right.
Are you serious?
Yes. That was a cheap one. It was, we were only in there about 5 minutes. I tried a couple walking sticks. I was like, oh, isn't this fancy? I'm not going to use a walking stick. What am I, Mr. Peanut? you know? And I had my little totes, my Tulane totes collapsible umbrella in my backpack. I'm not spending 300 pounds on an umbrella. But it couldn't have been more British. I was like, I must go in. I thought I couldn't be more British until my final lunch, where I was in a pub, eating fish and chips, drinking a cask pint, watching a Manchester United game on the telly.
There you go.
Could not have been more British had I been wearing a derby.
Nailed it.
It was. I figured that was a way to go out. If I'm going out, this was the perfect last meal. But then, of course, there was a pub between the pub that we were in and the hotel, so we stopped and had our last, our final pint.
Pub crawling.
We were pub crawling all the way to the very end. It was fun. So now, Belize, obviously a tropical paradise.
It was pretty paradise-like.
Did you Airbnb? Did you hotel? Did you sleep on the beach like a transient?
Yeah, so we went to, off the coast of Belize City, which is where we flew in, there's a couple islands. There's Cay Cocker and Cay Ambergris / San Pedro Island. And Cay Cocker is the closer one. It's about a half-hour water taxi ride. Our friend, Alex, has stayed there before.
Yeah.
And he spent a few days there, and he said that's where it's at. Cay Cocker, it's slow. It's got a slow pace. There's not chains everywhere. It's really laid back. It's chill. We're like, all right, that sounds good.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
So we got an Airbnb there. And the whole thing, you know, for 5 nights or something, it cost us a few hundred bucks.
Oh, man.
So really cheap.
Okay.
So get to Belize City, take the cab right to the airport. Go from the airport right to this little port. Take the water taxi there. We're there in about 45 minutes or so. It's okay. Kind of like a speedboat-ish that's just kind of like going straight across this channel into the Atlantic. I will say there were maybe 2 drops of rain the whole time we were there.
Oh, nice.
And the forecast was 60 to 80% tropical storm.
Oh, geez.
I mean, like, it was supposed to get hit.
Oh,
so, no. Yeah, like my wife's dad wrote on my Facebook wall, here's the forecast. It was supposed to be a nightmare the whole time. And when we left, apparently this is one of the rainiest years Belize has had in a long time. And
really?
He said, this is the best. You just got the best weather the last 5 days we've had all year. So we totally lucked out with the weather. So we get to Cay Cocker. Cay Cocker is about as long as, I would say, the width of the island is a couple times longer than the width of this studio. Or not the studio, but the
building?
This floor.
Okay.
Rather. I mean, it is, you can walk from one end to the other. It's 1,000 meters tops.
Wow.
Maybe. I mean, it's like a 4-minute walk.
What's on the island?
Not a lot.
I was going to say.
So you get off the boat. All right, you can turn right to go towards the north of the island. There's a couple grocery store, mini mart kind of places, a couple tourism spots where it says, all right, do the snorkeling tour. You can do a day trip to the ruins on the coast. You can do like 2 other things. And then there's maybe 1 or 2 places to buy souvenirs or whatever. Repeat that about twice.
Okay.
And you're at the northern tip of the island.
Huh.
If you go south, you repeat it maybe 3 times. And you're at the southern tip of the island. I mean, it is literally, you would walk from the northern tip to basically as far south as you could go in 15 minutes,
okay.
10, 15 minutes. And that's the island. So it's tiny, really tiny. Now, beyond that on the southern, so it's actually technically one island, but it's kind of two. So
okay.
We were on the southern part of Cay Cocker, where I just said you can walk across for about 15 minutes. Yeah. When you get to the northern part, there's a thing called the split, and it's you could swim across it if you wanted to, but it's where the island splits, and there's a channel that runs through it. Just basically a strait, and boats go through it, and people swim across it and run around in the water and everything. And then there's the northern part where everybody lives. It's very residential and really non-touristy. Like, if you search for Airbnbs on Cape Cocker, you'll see 30 results on the southern island and one on the northern island.
Okay. Because the locals are living there.
Yeah, that's the local place. So we're on the southern part. And at the split is a bar called the Lazy Lizard. And at the Lazy Lizard, they've got three or four tables with thatched roof umbrellas above them where you sit in the water.
Oh, nice.
Because the water, really around the whole island, the water is super shallow. The water was incredibly green, like emerald green.
Oh, man.
Barely blue. And it was just absolutely gorgeous. So we were there, and as soon as you got off the boat, all the signs for Cape Cocker, their motto is go slow.
Okay.
We were actually reproached by a local at one point for walking too fast. Hey, you guys are walking too fast. You got to slow down.
You got to slow down, man. I mean,
and to be fair, if you don't go slow, you run out of things to do even faster.
Yeah, right.
So not a lot of variety. I mean, honestly, we ate it.
Now, could you go back into the city?
So the thing is, the water taxi port in Belize City is not near anything, really.
Oh, okay.
Neither was the airport. So we got off the plane, we're looking around, and we're like, there's not a lot here. We take the taxi to the water taxi location, we're looking around, we're like, there's not a lot here. On Cape Cocker, there's all you need. They've got several little supermarkets and shops and a handful of bars. But the nightlife, it's weird because after 7 p.m., it's pitch black.
Oh, no lights.
Everywhere it's pitch. No, I mean, there's lights, but I mean, you're not looking out at anything.
Right, yeah.
There's no view. It's just the ocean,
ocean, yeah, so it's dark.
So the Lazy Lizard, their happy hour is 4 to 6.
Okay.
Ridiculous drink deals. We're pounding the strongest drinks I've ever had for $5. It's incredible. All the beers are $1.50, $2.
Ooh.
And you spend a lot of your day at the split, and then, after 6 or so, sunset, and then everything off the island's pitch black. And after 7, a lot of places close. The Lazy Lizard closes.
At 7?
Oh, yeah. A handful of bars close. Now, a lot of the vendors will stay open till like midnight, and a couple of the places will stay open past like 9
or
10.
Are there restaurants, or do the bars have food?
Yeah. There's a lot of restaurants, little tiny restaurants. All mom-and-pop places, right?
Nice. Nice local places.
The only chain anything on the whole island was one Remax Title Loans office. That was it.
Okay.
And it was for beach title
to buy
loans.
Your house. Yeah.
Everything else was local. So it was weird because the first night, you know, we're sleep deprived. We got 3 hours of sleep. You know, 10 hours of travel, jumping from here to here to here. Go to the Lazy Lizard, had two of these lizard juices. That's the green drink I'm drinking.
The green drink?
And on Facebook, I have this mysterious green drink. And I don't know what was in them.
Really?
But it was a lot of alcohol.
Nice.
Like a lot of alcohol. So
when you're that tired, it's...
The first night we passed out by 7:30 and we slept 14 hours.
Oh, my God.
Because we had worked so many long hours to get ahead for the vacation.
For the trip.
We were done. And the second day, really, you just walk around. The weird thing about Cape Cocker is that there's no sandy beaches.
Oh.
It's just shore. So even at the Lazy Lizard, you go down a little staircase, and it's concrete on the sides, like if you go to certain parts of Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
And there's no sandy beaches at all. It's just, I mean, there's sand that'll kind of roll up or whatever, but it's in privately owned little areas by some of the B&Bs where you really just have a couple deck chairs, but it's not cultivated like a beach. So there's technically no beach on this whole little island.
That's weird.
It's kind of weird. But again, you can get in the water. And there's a second bar actually just before the Lazy Lizard where they've got a couple hammocks in the water and like a basketball net and a bunch of inner tubes. You can just lay and you're drinking the whole time.
Oh,
right?
Of course. Yeah.
So it's a cool place to hang out. If you really like drinking, it's great. It's a beautiful spot. You just watch the clouds roll in. Casey sat over reading a book, and I literally just like watched the ocean for probably an hour.
Nice.
Just beautiful everything.
Did you do any sort of day trips or tours?
So
or?
We did decide the second day to do a day trip, which kind of nuked our third and fourth day because we decided to go snorkeling.
Oh, I love snorkeling.
You've been snorkeling.
I love snorkeling. I have my own flippers.
Really?
Yeah, because my feet are so big.
Right.
Before we went to Puerto Rico, I bought my own flippers.
Right.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So,
because I love it.
I had never been.
Okay.
And it was really cool.
Yeah. Oh, it's great.
It was just phenomenal. And we're going along the barrier reef and we stop by this spot where there's just thousands of conch shells.
That's unbelievable.
Just everywhere. And it's like the guys leading the tour picking them up. And there's some local that goes to that area and cleans the conch shells. So
really?
You pull them up and they're just it's beautiful. And then we swam with these nurse sharks.
Okay.
Which are apparently, yeah. I hope, friendly.
They're friendly.
Yeah. And, you know, swam right over some manta rays. We ended up at a spot with like a giant manta ray.
Nice.
Just terrifyingly huge. Apparently they're harmless, but I was losing my mind.
Yeah.
Because of the stingray incident.
Right. From... You're Steve Irwin.
Yeah.
You're not. Yeah.
So.
And you don't have a bindi to carry on your name.
Right. Swam over a manatee. It was just. And we were putting a lot of sunscreen on.
Oh.
But.
The water magnifies that sun.
Dude, when you're snorkeling in the middle of the day, in the middle of that part of the world, it doesn't matter how much sunscreen you put on. If you go snorkeling, listener, wear a t-shirt.
Yes.
Wear a t-shirt. So I got a little singed.
Ooh.
Now, we enjoyed Tuesday night, and I wasn't in excruciating pain Wednesday, but we were limited.
Okay.
Casey said, you know, oh, we should go wakeboarding or get a jet ski or something. I'm like, dude, my back is like ripped in half right now. I'm just need to take it easy. But the fourth day, we were there four full days.
Okay.
Last day we were there. So we said, let's check out another island.
Yeah.
Let's check out Ambergris, K Ambergris or whatever it is, San Pedro Island, and go see how that is. So we get a boat ticket and we go to San Pedro Island. It was hellish. We hated it.
Really?
So here's the deal with San Pedro Island. So it's a much bigger island, and there's basically a city in the middle of it.
Okay.
So you get off in cobblestone streets. One thing I should preface this with Kay Cocker, no cars.
Oh, beautiful.
There's like two
golf carts?
Golf carts.
Nice.
All golf carts.
Perfect.
And a few bicycles. And when they say go slow, they're serious. We were walking faster than some of the bicycles.
That's ridiculous.
It was like slow motion.
It would take me four full days just to get to that pace.
I'm telling you, man, go slow. So we go to St. Ambergris. And there are a couple pickup trucks, let's say, for construction stuff. We get to St. Ambergris. Not only are there cars everywhere, but there are golf carts everywhere. Picture being on State Street in downtown Chicago, but instead of cars, they're all golf carts that are as loud as lawnmowers.
Oh, God.
Because golf carts are very loud.
Yes.
Most of the time. So we walked around this, and it's midday when we arrive. It's like 11 a.m., 11:30. Sun is just right on top of you.
Yeah.
There's no shade anywhere. There's no beaches, no public beaches here either. There's some shoreline, but there's no.
Okay.
It's mostly parking lots or little sandy roads that are along the. It just was, and everything was under construction. So we get there, you already hear a buzzsaw, or like it sounded like a table saw. God knows what they were cutting forever. Then you finally get away from that, and there's a jackhammer. And the whole time, we're on narrow cobblestone streets with lawnmower loud golf carts. We were there for less than an hour. So we found one place with a really good lobster melt.
Oh.
That was the silver lining.
That sounds good.
We literally found one of the closest places, ate, looked around, and said, we need to get off this island.
Yeah, you got to get out of here.
Now, there are lots of resorts there.
Okay.
We don't do the resort thing. Like, I know you've done that in the DR.
Yes.
These aren't as big, but I think some of these resorts have their own beaches, maybe.
Probably.
And if they're all inclusive, although there were a couple, you know, tiny, 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 like 5-room, quote unquote, resorts on Cape Cocker, they just had a swimming pool.
Sure.
So if I had to make a recommendation, I would say do Cape Cocker, do a day trip to the snorkeling, do a day trip to maybe the ruins, because there's some.
Oh, that would be cool.
Some Mayan ruins on the mainland, just north of Belize City, where you can go to. I would say do a couple day trips, plan on drinking a lot and relaxing a lot,
That sounds nice.
Let me bring a book. But overall, it was awesome. We had a great time.
Cool. Well,
was,
happy anniversary, by the way. That's why you were going for your anniversary.
Thank you. Thanks for
one year. You were already you're already married a year.
Thanks for officiating our wedding.
Well, listen, it was fantastic.
That was a good time.
It was a good time. I had a good time.
I put the video of the wedding ceremony on my phone, and I was like, we should watch this for our anniversary.
Oh.
She said she wasn't emotionally ready. Because she just cry. She knew she would cry if we watched it.
So?
It was like, so? Was
out of regret or joy? If it's joy, go ahead. If she's going to cry because of regret, well, then you got another conversation you need to have.
Yeah, I don't think that's regret. That's cool. But no, but I'm telling you, man, we got to Houston for the transfer to go down there, and I put my phone on airplane mode, shoved it in my bag, and I didn't look at it for 2 days. When I finally did, I just checked my text in case I got a text from family or something, because I figured that would tell me if there was an emergency.
Right. Yeah.
I didn't open my email. I didn't go on Facebook or Twitter.
Good for you.
None of it.
Yeah. Like I said, I did it at night. There were a couple times I would look something up during the day.
That's what I did when I went to Istanbul, same as you.
Yeah.
I'd take pictures during the day, get back Wi-Fi, upload them.
And that was
it's a great system. Fun.
Yeah, and it was, you know, because there's so much to see. And the other thing, part of the time on the bus, I'd fall asleep. Like that first day, I was told that after we left so we get there, we go to Buckingham Palace, we see that, we go to the Victoria and Albert Museum. We're supposed to have a breakfast. Well, everybody's milling about outside this room where we're supposed to have breakfast. Turns out some other group had gone into the room where we were having breakfast and eaten our food.
What?
So now, yes, I don't know how this happened, and it was a lot of consternation amongst our group because we're all tired. Nobody slept on the ride over because we didn't leave late enough to be bedtime. We left at 5, so it's not bedtime. We landed, which would have been 11 o'clock Chicago time. Well, that's bedtime. But now it's 7 a.m. London time, and we got to keep going. So imagine people been going all night. Now it's what would have been 10 o'clock. So 4 o'clock in the morning, Chicago, our bodies are at 4 o'clock in the morning. We're ready to eat, and our food is gone because some other group had gone in there, and the people at the Victoria and Albert Museum hadn't checked or whatever. So now they're scrambling to find us food. They did find us some food. And we had 2 hours to go around the museum, which would have been fine because it was a wonderful museum, except for the fact that everybody was exhausted. So after about an hour, I was like, I can't look at any more things in a museum. So we went out to the big courtyard. I sat down and immediately fell asleep in a chair. Woke back up. It's almost time to go. So I walk back in. Now the whole group is sitting in the lobby of the museum, and everybody looks like an extra from The Walking Dead. Everybody's just like, oh, and we're waiting because the bus is still like 20 minutes from there. And people are looking at their watches. And as 5 minutes gets there, we start to count down. Oh, the bus will be here in 3 minutes. And then Sandra appears. Oh, Sandra's here. We get on the bus. I guess they did like a 2-hour sightseeing tour. I was sound asleep.
Wow.
I missed it all. But it was all stuff she told them it's all stuff we're going to see on Saturday. So I didn't miss anything.
Nice.
Traffic in London is atrocious. All over England. That's all I saw was taillights
from
the bus. It's horrible. That's why everybody takes the tube. Because people are like, oh, you should try our taxis. Our taxis are wonderful. No, that means I got to be on the street. Forget it. It would take the bus a half hour to go, you know, a mile. And everything is traffic circles. The entire country is one big traffic circle. Oh, forget about
it. All roundabouts.
I'm a roundabout. I thought I was at a Yes album. It was insanity.
It's a reference I actually got.
Thank you. I would never drive there. I don't. In London, no.
I don't like driving here.
No. So it was, but yeah. So that was the trip. We survived. We're still. Someone told Debbie. Somebody from her law firm has an office there, and people travel back and forth. And they said. Takes about a day for every hour of time zone difference to get your body back on track.
Oh, man.
So I still got a couple days left. But I'm waking up at like 2 or 3 in the morning, wide awake, still. And we got home late Saturday night. So I'm like, oh, no. And I forced myself to go back to sleep. But that's why I'm like dragging and a little loopy today. because it's still like,
Yeah, no, I thought I'd have a hard time adjusting just because we were in bed so early every day.
Yes, yeah.
Which would have been nice for me because I always sleep in, actually.
No,
here.
That's, yeah.
But Belize is only an hour behind us.
Right,
so.
But I mean, still the fact that, I think it was the same, it's kind of the same when we went to Puerto Rico and stuff, because you're doing so much stuff during the day and you're out in the sun and you're having a couple cocktails that you end up going to bed early.
Yeah.
Then you wake up early and start it again, you know, and especially if everything closes at 7. But if you were with your own place, you had a kitchen and things like that.
We had a kitchen and we made some pina coladas and
I was going to say a liquor cabinet.
You know, whatever island you stay on or anywhere. I know we were in Central America. It's kind of like being in the Caribbean. I mean,
yeah.
let's be honest. I think
right.
we were still north of Turks and Caicos. But either way, anywhere down there, the rum is just
phenomenal.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
So good.
We, not you know, most places closed. There was a one late night place, one bar open till midnight every night called Sports Bar.
Okay.
Sports
just
Bar.
Sports Bar, generic sports bar.
We met a guy, I think his name was Tsunami Nick.
Of course it was.
On the way back from San Pedro. So we're on this ferry and this guy starts talking to us. This guy, his wife, he's retired and now he plays music for fun.
Oh.
And his wife abruptly, suddenly passed away 2 months ago.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's a very sad story. This guy was in perfectly fine spirits, but he's like, yeah, I'm a musician. And he had a very thick, heavy, heavy East Coast accent.
Yeah.
I was like, where are you from? I'm from Brooklyn. He's like New Yorker, right? But this guy, he said, yeah, I retired when I was around 50. There's this basically guy that retired way early, is from New York, has a yacht with 5 bedrooms and 4 bathrooms. It's a 1,500 foot yacht in the British Virgin Islands, which he ordered from France.
Of course.
He and his wife were going to retire to Belize, and then they did for like a year, and then she had some kind of brain surgery down in Belize and survived. Only woman that's ever had brain surgery down here and lived. And apparently, like a year later, she passed away. It's like
oh, no.
Very weird, intense, and bizarre story. But the guy was having a great time being a musician. So we had a little group together, and they played at Sport Bar that night.
Okay.
And Casey and I go grab a table. There's this big picnic table. It's empty. And it's been pretty full bar, actually.
Right.
I'm like, we got to get that picnic table because I know people will come sit by us.
Yeah.
I love meeting people when I travel because I've never done the hostel thing.
Yeah.
And
right.
I romanticize that.
Okay.
Stay in a hostel with a room of 6 strangers. You're in their early 20s. Y'all eat together. Y'all make all these friends from all
get
around the
murdered.
World. Get murdered.
They steal all your stuff.
Jack the Ripper style.
Yeah, of course.
I love this idea. So this guy sits down. I don't remember his name, but he's from Dublin.
Okay.
And I knew it right away
because nice.
I knew the Irish accent. He was in a hostel with a guy from Australia.
Oh.
And a very attractive young lady from the Netherlands.
Oh, hello.
And there were a couple dudes from Sweden that they had met.
Really?
So we hung out with these blokes and birds. Bird?
Blokes and bird?
For the entirety of that evening. And we were out till about midnight. So
nice.
There's just like one or two late night options.
Yeah.
But just nothing near water or...
Right.
You know.
Yeah, then it's just like being anywhere else. Well, that sounds good.
But there were some characters. It was weird. We went to a bar a couple doors down from there earlier in the night for Taco Tuesday.
Oh,
it's this woman
sure.
With a southern accent. I couldn't place it because you're used to hearing a little bit of Spanish or a little bit of French.
Right.
And finally, we're like, where are you from? She goes, oh, I'm from Alaska. Oh, okay. And she's telling us to get
not
in the bar.
Not southern at all.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, I moved here, went here in June to see, you know, just to visit, go snorkeling or something, and loved it, so decided to buy this bar. I've been here a week.
Oh, my God. She bought the bar?
From Alaska, just flew down and bought this bar. Yeah, then that wasn't even the
all
only
right.
story. There was a French place 2 doors down from the Lazy Lizard. And we sit down. There's a French flag outside. The most French waiter you'll ever talk to. He comes over. Ah, what can I get to my friends?
It was
Montesquieu, yeah. This guy, so we ordered, I ordered like a burger.
Okay.
I don't want a burger, whatever. I get this burger. It is one of the best burgers I have ever had.
Wow.
I swear to God. It's this guy. Turns out he and his wife and his wife's brother moved from France to this island, bought this property to open a restaurant. Because they were sick of Paris.
Okay.
I guess.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
Why wouldn't you be?
None of them spoke English at the time or Spanish, just French. And they just learned English while working at this restaurant. It was some of the best. And then we got dessert. We got these like caramel crepes.
Yeah.
It was one of the best desserts I've ever had in my life.
Wow.
And when we got there, he's walking me through the menu. He goes, oh, yeah, we don't have this. We don't have this. We don't have this. And I was way out of everything. Oh, because we're closing the restaurant. We're selling it. We're moving next month to open a new restaurant in Colombia. Like, do you speak Spanish? No, we don't speak Spanish. We'll teach ourselves how to speak Spanish. It's like, who are these people?
Wow.
Best part is he and the girl got divorced. So his wife left him like 6 months ago. They're divorced, and he and her brother are business partners.
Oh, geez.
We're just opening bars around the world and cooking some of the best French food I have ever had. It wasn't just French food. It was the American thing, the cheeseburger, this like caramel drizzled French toast. I'm telling you, it was out of this world.
That's amazing.
The guy is an art. The chef behind the counter was an artist. The server was just the most out of control, high energy guy like I had ever seen. I mean, the guy, if he wasn't coked out of his mind, then he's got just the highest natural.
High on life.
It was amazing, man. So a lot of characters, a lot of activity at Cape Cocker.
Nice.
A lot of people in and out of there, a lot of people buying and selling businesses. And my new plan is now that my wife is a certified yoga instructor.
Yeah. Oh, go down there. They got any radio down there?
Not radio, but when I have her host some yoga retreats.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ding,
that's
ding,
the
ding.
Way to do
that's
it.
That's how you do it. Very nice.
Because yoga, who does yoga? Rich white people.
That's true.
A lot of them.
Yeah. Good thinking.
I mean, everybody should do yoga.
I like that. Everybody should.
We live in Lincoln Park, and we sell the rich white people.
Yeah, really. It's the rich white people. It's white privilege.
The area we're in. But
very nice.
But,
yeah, everybody we spoke to was very nice over there. When you're on the bus and stuff, you don't get a chance to hang out too much with the locals. But everybody we talked to when we were out on our own was nice. The guy who gave the Jack the Ripper tour was quite the character and loved giving the gory details of the murders. That was as you walk through past junkies, he would talk very graphic in his description of the murders.
Really?
Yes, all very graphic.
You think he was enjoying it too much?
A little bit, yeah. He could have perhaps been a descendant of Jack the Ripper. He was that excited about it.
Were there Halloween decorations anywhere?
The Halloween is a new thing, but there were some Halloween, they were selling Halloween things. Christmas is already huge. Everything, every pub already had signs out, book your Christmas parties. Christmas stuff was in the stores. The Christmas world at Harrods was up and going, huge. So, yeah, Christmas, I think I would like to be there at Christmas. Because Christmas in England or in London seems like the thing.
I've heard that it's because Londoners don't get any vacation days or something, or there's very few public holidays.
I don't know.
And so Christmas historically has really been like taken extremely seriously by Londoners.
Oh, you can tell. It's all about it. But they do have some Halloween costumes, and they did have some Halloween decorations. Not like here, but it's starting to creep in a little bit.
There were some Halloween decorations and streamers in a couple places in Belize.
Yeah.
And they were advertising for a Halloween party this Saturday.
Very nice.
Which I was bummed we had to go for. Yeah. There was also a full moon party on Wednesday, the night
we
left. Yeah.
A full moon party.
Full moon in Belize would have been great.
Wow.
But on the island, it was weird, though, because I was trying to figure out, why is it so weird to see Halloween stuff in a tropical paradise?
Yeah.
It's because they don't have pumpkins.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
When you don't have pumpkins, then Halloween's weird.
Yeah, that's true. It's like having Christmas without snow.
And I would say
it's
Christmas
nice,
without
it's weird.
I would say Christmas without an evergreen tree, but you've done Christmas in California.
I have, and I loved it.
And you loved it.
Loved it. I would like Christmas with a palm tree decorated with lights and ornaments.
You know, if it's decorated, I could do it.
Yeah.
But it's not the same.
Yeah. Christmas is in your heart, Cody. Not in the weather.
Is that where it is?
Not in your heart. Definitely not in mine. Yes. Well, listen, so we're back in America. Where we belong, where we can ply our trade.
Bananas
so
and all.
So to speak, bananas and all. All I brought back, Debbie. I get it. So Debbie she's always gotten magnets, you know, for the refrigerator. That's been a thing.
Yeah.
This trip, a new thing was rubber ducks with all the... They're not the little yellow rubber ducks, but now they're not just that. There was a Winston Churchill duck and a Shakespeare duck and a Queen Victoria duck and a... But she ended up with 17 rubber ducks coming back. I will actually... If you want, I'll send you the picture. You can use it if you want to use it as one of the thumbnail, an option for the thumbnail.
Was rubber ducks a thing with you guys before?
No, she had gotten a couple. She'd gotten a couple when I got her one in New York because she caught a couple at Mardi Gras. You know, some of the crews have them. So she had a couple rubber ducks from Mardi Gras that she had in her office. And then when Molly moved to New York before the time when I just went out with her, we got her one at some cheesy place in Times Square. So that was in her office. And then she started seeing these. And
oh, that's a lot of rubber ducks.
17 rubber ducks. That's her thing.
If you got room in the suitcase.
Well, and they're everything from Harrods to Henry VIII to the suffragette that she got outside of Parliament. To a taxi one. So that was her. She has a Roman centurion that she got at the Roman baths.
Mm.
Yeah, so that was a thing.
Did you see any shows when you were there? Performances?
No, and here's why. Some people went, because the first Saturday night, some people went and saw a show. And then the final Friday night, some people went and saw a show. And our thinking was this. We are blessed enough to see a lot of shows here. And I said, do you want to sit in a theater for 3 hours or do you want to go out and explore the city? Now, we already knew that the last Friday night we were going to do the Jack the Ripper tour. So this was basically a conversation we had the first Saturday. And Debbie was like, no, I want to go out and explore. And so we revisited it as we came back to see, well, if you don't want to do the Jack the Ripper tour, we could go to a show. But she's like, nah, I don't want to go see a show. So if I ever go back to London, I will definitely go to see a show on the West End.
I think if you saw a Shakespeare performance,
we did see, I'm sorry, in Stratford-upon-Avon, we saw a show at the Royal Shakespeare Theater.
Oh.
Yeah, I was just thinking about London. No, we saw a Shakespeare play at the Royal Shakespeare Theater. What am I, a complete Yahoo?
No, I think it's because I have been on a couple structured tours like that, you know, like, yes. Again, in middle school and growing up, and they would usually include a show, and I think that's a cool element. If it's like, contextually makes sense, and I would say that the Royal Shakespeare makes a lot of sense. It's like a thing you can definitely check a box.
And I'm looking it up now because I always forget which one we saw.
Shakespeare is tricky that way.
It was...
When I was in high school or middle school, I saw Love's Labour's Lost.
Oh my, aren't you fancy?
I did not have any clue what was going on.
No?
Because it was, heavy Shakespeare dialect and the accent. In the first 20 minutes, I'm like, what are they saying or doing?
Yeah, I had a very hard time with it. It was Troilus and Cressida.
Hmm.
That was what we saw, Troilus and Cressida. Modernized so it was like Mad Max. Honest to God. Where one of the characters actually looked like the Tina Turner character. There was a guy who was like Master Blaster. It was in the Royal Shakespeare Theater at the Royal Shakespeare Center in Stratford-upon-Avon. The theater had been remodeled so it resembled kind of the old Globe and the Groundlings, so it was not a proscenium arch. It was the crowd came all around and went up. So it was very modern. It was very hard to understand. I was very tired. I slept through most of the first act. Stayed awake through the second act. Some of the people left because they couldn't understand it. I stayed because I was like, well, I'm here. I'm in Shakespeare's hometown. I'm going to stay and watch the play. It was very, very good. It was just, like you said, Shakespeare's hard. And this was not one that I had heard of. You know, I'm familiar with some. In fact, I impressed Debbie because when you do the tour of Shakespeare's birthplace, as you go out into the garden before you go through the bookstore, you know, because it's everywhere's like Graceland and Disneyland. You always have to leave through a bookshop or a gift store. They have some actors out there in the garden. And if you give them a play, they will, or a something that you like from, they will do a scene. So I tossed out a couple Shakespeare plays, and they acted out, they did some monologues and stuff from it. And Debbie was like, oh, how did you know that? I go, I don't know. Again, I just know. Some
you things. Know things.
I know things. It's hard for people to believe, but I know things. So yes, we did see a show. Now that I remember, you know, I forget.
You Everything said there's a
together.
Lot that you did.
There's a lot that we did. You know, Stratford-upon-Avon was a gorgeous town. Just gorgeous. You know, as you come in, there's a statue of a big monument with Shakespeare on top, and then around it, it's got Lady Macbeth, you know, comedy, tragedy, da-da-da, Lady Macbeth and Falstaff, and I forget the other two. I got pictures of it all, so I can pull it out of my 1,200 pictures. Molly keeps calling me because she thinks I forgot to call her back.
That's what keeps blowing up your phone.
So that was, you know, we saw that in Anne Hathaway's cottage and gardens, and that was beautiful. And we went to Shakespeare's school. We saw Anne Hathaway's cottage, and then our guide took us and showed us where we were going to meet a few hours later to take our tour of Shakespeare's house. Half the group would tour the house, the other half would get a little lecture on Shakespeare. Learned a lot about Shakespeare. And a lot of it was repeat. You got a lot of Shakespeare a lot of times. So then we take the map, and we had a couple hours. So we walk all over the town to see different things. We went into the church where he's buried. I didn't want to pay to actually see the, you know, a sign over his grave, but I kind of peeked around. Then we saw his school. We, of course, had to stop in because it was, we were parched. We had to stop in a 350-year-old pub to have a beer. Then we go in our, we take our tour, and we had to be back at the hotel at 5 o'clock to get on the bus to go to the brewery. And they told us, make sure you eat because it's not a full dinner at the brewery. There's just some things. But we wanted to see one more like historical thing before we ate. So we go to Shakespeare's school and the Guildhall, which we thought would be cool. And it was because they're showing you this film. And I know we gotta get out of here. Holy cow. We've been talking forever.
No, I thought I heard something. I thought I heard like somebody trying to scratch.
No, we're in a soundproof room.
Claw and get in the studio. Is there a ghost in here?
So when they were redoing it anyway, they found a painting that had been on there for thousands of years, like, because it used to be, and it's behind, they have to keep it behind like a screen, and they show you a movie and tell you all about it, and then they raise the screen, and the screen is up for about 20 seconds. So you get to see this, the images of this religious painting, and it was gorgeous. Then you go upstairs to where the classroom is, and there's a guy dressed as the headmaster. And oh my God, he's going to give you the whole spiel. And the whole time we're up there, I'm like, I'm thinking we got to go because we got to eat. And I'm looking at my watch and I'm listening to this guy. And I'm going the whole thing. And he's giving this lecture and he's teaching us Latin. And I'm looking at my watch and he's going on and on and on. I'm like, dude, I get it. You're a frustrated actor. You're Shakespeare's headmaster. Yes, blah, 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 blah. And then he takes us to the other side, and he's going to have everybody practice writing with the quill. And I'm like, I'm out. We got to go. So I said, Debbie, sit down. We'll get a picture of you writing with the quill. And she did it, and she wrote like two letters. And I was like, all right, we got to go. So then we hightail it over and go to the pub and get our lunch stuff. But we sat where Shakespeare sat for school.
That's cool.
So that was cool. You know, it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. So look at us. We have traveled the world, and yet we are back here in the Allstate Skyline studio at WGN. And wrapping up our podcast for the week, we will, I think this week and, yes, this week and next week we'll be podcasting. Then I think we might go live, or maybe just this week we're podcasting.
Yeah, we're not, I don't know.
We got to see.
I mean, because
we might have shows.
Next Sunday, the next two Sundays after this Sunday, we have shows.
The first two Sundays in November.
First two Sundays in November we have shows.
Really?
And then the Sunday after Thanksgiving we have shows.
Shorty shows, but.
So.
All right.
We can do some.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. All right. Well, listen, as always, we thank you for listening. If you've endured to this point, God bless you. Really, you need a hobby other than listening to this, which we appreciate. Thank you, Cody. I'm glad you're back.
Hey, it was, you know.
It was nice.
It was good to get away. I had a very, you
it
know.
It is good to get away.
I had such a different experience than you, though, because I slowed down.
Yeah.
You know, London's a city. You were on London, a schedule.
You got to move fast. And we were on a schedule.
On an itinerary. So you,
the showers were tiny.
Your pace of life didn't really change. I mean,
no, not at all. Mine was nonstop.
Literally the second day, like, or the third day, literally it was like she was sitting at a reading and I just like looked at the ocean.
See, that I would like that for a couple days, for a day, couple days. Then I'd want to do some stuff.
Yeah, we wondered aloud to one another. We discussed this at length. How would we respond to like 3 weeks on this island?
Oh.
But there's like a couple options for drinking. Everything is, you can't see.
Yeah, what do you do?
Past a, you know, 20 feet. Or whatever. The island itself is well lit, but you don't see any horizon.
Right.
It'd be
island crazy.
It's weird.
That's what they said when we were in Hawaii. They said people think, oh, man, we're going to move to the islands. And most of them don't last 5 years because they go island crazy.
Really?
Yeah. Because you're like, I got to get off this island.
Yeah.
There's nothing. What about Gilligan? I got to go.
Yeah, it was very interesting. So nice. Hopefully by next week, I'll be back up to speed and be the zany sidekick.
I hope
crazy.
You are well rested. I don't need you to be a zany sidekick.
Dude, that 14 hours of sleep was phenomenal.
That's nice.
But now I have to work all weekend to get ahead for some stuff next
week. Yeah, and hopefully by next week, pardon me.
Hopefully by next week you're adjusting your sleep.
Yeah, the jet lag is gone. And my knees are killing everything. It's because we walked. I think I saw the Fitbit came up. It was like 118,000 steps.
Oh, my God.
Last week. It averaged, yeah. So, yeah, I walked. Thankfully, I'd gotten some nice, comfortable walking shoes before we went. Rockport. Got to give a shout-out to Rockport. Even though I paid for these shoes. I'm good to go, man. I got two pairs. They're exactly the same, just different colors. One black, one brown. And they are comfy, comfy, comfy. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting it. Tell people about the podcast. Listen to the podcast. Share the podcast. Sell bootlegs of the podcast. I don't care what you do with it. Whatever you need to do. Listen to Cody. Are you doing your other podcast before I plug it?
Not yet.
All right. Don't listen to Cody's other podcast. Listen to him here. And we'll go to the Facebook page. Keep in touch with everything there. Listen to this podcast wherever it is you listen to podcasts. Tell people about it. Thank you. As always, we will talk to you again very soon. But now we got to go. It's late. Goodbye. Thanks.